Nehemiah 9, and have you ever hung up a picture? You know, like some picture frames have just one nail that you need that it hangs from the center of the top of the frame. You know how some of those frames are the type that have a thing hanging on both corners? Okay, those are so irritating because you have to get both corners even, right? Okay, and anybody like me, if it's the slightest bit off, you notice it. Like I got this a couple years ago or so. It was my pandemic coping strategy. I got a big fish tank, and it was it's a 29-gallon tank, and I got it set up. And how many know that when a tank is full of water, you're not moving it, right? It's just where it is, okay? And you're not moving the thing it's sitting on. Well, I didn't realize until I got the tank situated and filled it up, I didn't realize that my living room, the floor, is not straight until I saw that the water line was not straight in the tank. And so now I try to fill it as much to the brim as possible so I can't see that it's like this. And I'm like that with picture frames where if they have the two notches on either side and you hang it, have you ever hung it and you did different things to make sure it was even? You hung it and you step back and you're like, how is that not even? You measure it like how much from the floor up it needs to be in both sides, and you make sure it's in the spot. You get a leveler even maybe, and you measure it and you hang it up, and it's, how is that not even? And some of you have the tools. You have those like laser things that you attach it to somewhere and it sends a laser across the wall. Anybody have those? Somebody has those. Probably Sean has those, but he's in West Virginia, I think. So you have the laser going across, and you can see as you're putting a nail in exactly where it needs to go, and you got it straight, and it feels good. And some of you are thinking, I don't even notice if a picture is straight or not. Anybody like that, you just don't even notice. And the challenge is you're trying to figure out what you're supposed to measure those two nails to. And in my situation, you can't even use the floor, because if you were to measure from the floor, it doesn't matter if they're both 40 inches up, the one's going to be off because the floor is not even. No pun intended there. But I wonder, followers, when we measure ourselves and how we're doing as far as followers of Jesus Christ, what we are measuring ourselves up against. Because I think that sometimes we feel worse than we are, and sometimes we feel like we're doing better than we think that we are. And it's because we're measuring against the wrong thing. Because we're not called to measure one nail against the other. We're not called to measure ourselves, you know, how am I doing compared to that guy? You know, am I at least doing better than that guy? Am I better than her? Am I better than I used to be? Am I at least I'm not doing that? Have you ever found yourself saying that sometimes? Or at least I'm not doing that. And I wonder, what is it that we're measuring ourselves up against? You know, what is the standard? How do we know if we are actually the kind of person that Jesus Christ wants us to be? Because I believe that if you're in this room to some degree, you're here because you want to follow Jesus. Now, it might not be top priority for some of us, perhaps. Maybe some of us are here because of the people, and we should be here in some part for the people. Maybe some of us are here because there's some kind of need that gets met by that. But all of us have some kind of interest in wanting to please the Lord. But how do I know that I'm doing that? And do you ever get tired of failing? Do you ever get tired of, like, I want to be this, amen. I want to be this, but I just keep struggling to see it happen. It just doesn't. I just keep losing my patience, or I just keep struggling with gossip or trust issues or lust or financial things or whatever it is, and you just keep finding yourself wrestling, and it's get tiring, doesn't it? And sometimes we just throw in the towel and just, well, you know, nobody's perfect, so it's the way it is. But the Lord wants us to be better than that. But can we? What are we measuring ourselves up to? Because Paul says we need to be transformed by the renewal of our minds, that something needs to change up here that makes us become what we need to be. And there's that statement, and I've been saying it a lot, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You can, did you know this? You can overcome whatever that sin issue that you're struggling to overcome. You can overcome whatever that character flaw is that we need to overcome. And if we think about it, because what is the standard? Anybody know what the standard is? Huh? Yeah, because what does the Bible say? Be imitators of God in Ephesians. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. In Philippians, Paul says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus himself said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So, but what is that? What is the standard? Because I think sometimes some of us think that we're doing pretty okay. But if we think through the depths of it, I'm not supposed to have an anger issue. I'm not supposed to have, because I think some people, when they struggle with lust, guys in particular, but some girls struggle with this too, when they struggle with lust, they think, well, at least I'm not doing anything. You know? Or at least I'm not looking at anything online. I might be noticing someone and thoughts go through my head. But Jesus didn't say, get it partially right. And Jesus didn't say, just make sure to get it right on the outside. I mean, actually, I think I remember him saying something a little opposite to that. You remember the cup analogy? How doesn't, you know, think it's okay for the cup to be clean on the outside, but it's filthy on the inside. And Jesus wants us to be loving, patient, kind, truthful. And if you keep extending that, he wants us to be close, have a powerful prayer life, intimate with the Lord. He wants us to be a student of his word and in his word day in and day out. He wants us to be involved in the fellowship and the body of Christ and being in accountable relationships, no matter how annoying people might be. He wants us to be involved in that. He wants us to be able to trust him. Isn't it so hard sometimes to trust him? But he actually wants us to. He wants us to be able to trust him. He wants us to carry out the great commission of sharing our faith with others and making disciples. He wants us to be like that. That's the standard. Well, how are we going to do that? And we were looking at a passage on Wednesday about how it's how hard it is for a rich person to be saved. And although knowing that that translates out to all of us, really, because did you know that everyone in this room biblically is considered rich? Because we're Americans, all right? We have a lot more resources than what the Bible saw as poverty. And it's difficult for us to be right. And then we saw the disciples' response. You know what their response was? Well, who can be saved then? Because they were seeing the drastic distance between the standard and where we are. And again, we might say, well, then, you know, he doesn't expect perfection of us. And he says that we can be forgiven. And he says, confess our sins to one another. So then certainly he doesn't actually expect perfection from us. Sure, not to be saved. But he wants us to keep striving towards being what we're supposed to be just because we want to please him. Don't we want to please Jesus Christ? Because think about Jesus Christ and all that he's done for us. Do we not want to seek to please him? But man, is that hard. That is really hard to do. But I can do all things. I think perhaps we need to say that out loud. And I think we need to think about for a moment. I want you to think about the thing that it's hardest for you to do in the entire picture of the standard that Jesus has for you. I want you to think about the hardest thing it is or that is for you to do. I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to think about how many times that you've actually told yourself it's not possible, can't do this, this can't be done. I want you to think about this. That thing is what Paul's referring to. Whatever that is for you, are you ready? I want you to say this with me, and we're going to believe this with faith, okay? So that we no longer are making excuses. Are you ready? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do that. We can trust God wholeheartedly. We can be students of the word consistently. We can have a powerful prayer life. We can be a witness. We can be the kind of spouse that we need to be, the kind of parent we need to be. We can be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We can be those things, but how? We need some help here. We need some support. We need some guidance. Well, that's why we have Nehemiah. I don't know about you, but I'm learning more about Nehemiah than I ever have by walking with him. And he's leading the people, and things are happening, and the temple's done. But as we've said, there's more important things than just getting the structure of the building set up. There is the kind of people that we're becoming once the structure is built. And Nehemiah 9, verse 1 says this, "Now on the 24th day of this month, the people of Israel were assembled with fasting and in sackcloth, and with earth on their heads." I want you to think about that for a minute. I don't even like getting dirt on my clothes, let alone in my hair. Some of you, that doesn't matter too much. There's not much hair up there. But verse 2, "And the Israelites separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day. For another quarter of it, they made confession and worshiped the Lord their God. On the stairs of the Levites stood Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, and Chenaniah." I know I mispronounced that. That's okay, Carol. "And they cried with a loud voice to the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabniah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, 'Stand up and bless the Lord your God from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise.'" So here the people of Israel are beginning to respond to what God is doing, and we're in this moment thinking about that thing. Now, how many know there's not just one thing that we're struggling with, right? Okay, but there's the things that we're struggling with as far as becoming the person Jesus wants us to be. And disclaimer, we know that we need the Holy Spirit to make this happen. This isn't just like you get the 5-step plan and everything's all resolved. We can do it on our own. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we need his help with this. But he expects a certain level of responsiveness from us. We need to begin to respond and do things. And what are the steps that we need to do to be completely pure before the Lord? Because I don't know if you've ever experienced a moment. Have you ever experienced a moment where in that moment you did precisely what God wanted you to do? And when that happened, I don't know if you've ever had these moments where that happened. You looked up to heaven and you just felt God was pleased with what happened then. That feels unbelievable. It's too bad it's fewer and farther between for some of us. But we would love to be able to experience the delight of the Lord on a constant. Wouldn't you love to have that? To just constantly walk in being pleasing to the Lord and walk in the pleasure of the Lord. But if we're going to be that, if we're going to have that purity before the Lord, then we need to take certain steps in order to make that happen. The first, in verse 1, it says the people of Israel were assembled with fasting and in sackcloth and with earth on their heads. I want you to think about that for a moment. They're putting dirt on themselves, okay? This is how concerned they are with the kind of character they have before the Lord. And they're wearing sackcloth on, and no, this is not a comfy robe that they're wearing, okay? They're wearing material that's harsh on the skin and uncomfortable because they're doing everything they can to show, and they're fasting, they're giving up food to show that we are serious about this. This is a serious thing. And some of the reasons why we fail at whatever it is that we find ourselves failing in is because we don't take it that seriously. We might take it somewhat seriously. You know, we might care about it a little bit, but we don't take it extremely seriously. Because if we did, if we took that lust issue, that anger issue, that gossip issue, whatever that character flaw is, the fact that we're not practicing the disciplines of our faith, if we took that seriously, we would do it. But we kind of belittle it. You know I should be doing that, but, you know, I got this health issue and, you know, I'm busy and got that going on. And this guy's just real hard to deal with, and that's why I'm losing my patience. And we kind of belittle the seriousness of, and God's forgiving and God's gracious and he's understanding. And I bet some of you are hearing yourself saying these things when you talk between you and the Lord, that, you know, it's not that bad and those kind of things. And that's why we fail. Because we give ourselves an out. We think it's a problem to some extent, but we give ourselves an out to say it's not, you know, it's not that serious, it's not that bad. And we need to, and I don't mean we need to beat ourselves up over it, but we need to take it seriously that if we're not reading our Bible regularly, then we need to say, you know, this is something that matters. And I need to do something. If we're not being faithful to the body of Christ, this is something that needs to matter. If we're not being generous with our resources as God calls us to, then we need to take that seriously and say, this is something that matters. So if we truly want to be pleasing before the Lord, then we need to get serious about it. Also, it said that they, verse 2, separated themselves from the foreigners. Now, this isn't meaning that we're supposed to be prejudiced and we're supposed to look like we're better than other people and get away from other people, because if we pay attention to the whole text of the Bible, the reason why they were separating themselves from the foreigners was because of the negative influence spiritually that these people were going to have on them. And so we need to create at times some separation between us and things that are going to have a negative influence on us. And I've been praying about this for my own life particularly, because I think that, you know, first, how do we figure that out, what I need to be separate from? Because I don't think that means that we have to say, well, I can't listen to any secular music, and I need to not watch any TV ever, and I just need to get rid of my phone. And have you ever seen those people that realize that social media has taken too much of their life up, and then they cancel their account? They're like, I'm letting all my friends know, I'm canceling my account, deleting my account. And then within a few months, all of a sudden you get a friend request because they created a new account because they changed their mind on that. And not that we need to keep going back and forth, but there needs to be some separation between us and the world. And that's difficult because we have to be in relationship with people in the world because we need to share our faith and be a witness and those kind of things. But there needs to be some kind of a separation, because what happens is we start taking on the attitude of the world a lot of times. We start taking on the look of the world. In fact, the world sometimes looks at us and they don't see any difference between us and everybody else, because we're just like everybody else, because there's no separation. And sometimes we don't even notice it. And this is why if we notice it, then we can say, you know, I shouldn't watch. Anybody ever decided to not watch a particular TV show because you noticed it was having a negative impact on you? Or some of you who love watching the news, there's nothing wrong by itself watching the news, but some people are always on a panic and scared and the world's going to fall apart and I'm just going to go walk outside and get shot dead. You know, it's just going to happen because it's scary out there. And they don't realize that some of that's happening because they're watching the news all the time. Some people are consuming it, whether it's on TV or on the internet or whatever. Some people are consuming news from the time they get up until the time they go to bed. Have you ever been around people that their phone keeps buzzing off? And they keep checking it. Oh, I just had to check that alert and this alert because I need to know what's going on around me. And they're fearful all the time. And they need to create separation. And anybody ever do that? You decided a show was having a negative impact on you and you decided, I'm just not going to watch it because of the way it's affecting me. Okay? And we need to pay attention to those things. Now, sometimes we don't even notice it. Well, what do we do if we're not noticing it? Well, first, we need to make sure that we're in accountability. So make sure that we are forming accountable Christian relationships so that we can ask them, hey, are you noticing anything from me that's not good? And start to ask them, do you think I'm, you know, I've been watching this. What, tell people what I'm watching? I don't want to tell people what I'm watching. Tell people what I'm searching on the internet for. And besides, did you know our phones, I see people do this sometimes and it drives me crazy. And I've never seen any of you do this because you guys are perfect. Some of our social media things are set up to where you get like these video after video kind of scenarios, and you like, you swipe up, and you're like, that's interesting, I'll watch that for a second, okay, I'm done with that, and just forever, just sitting there doing this over and over. It's like we become a zombie and we don't even realize that we're wasting so much time. And sometimes We start with a video that's not so bad, and then all of a sudden we get to like these horrible, un-Christ-like attitudes and other things that start surfacing and language, and we're watching some of the most horrible things because we're just there. And we need to be in accountable Christian relationships where we're telling people, hey, this is what I'm watching, listening to. What do you think? And some of us are thinking, well, I don't want to do that because what if they tell me not to watch that? What if they tell me not to listen to that? Maybe you shouldn't. And we need to be accountable. But the other thing is I think that we sometimes can't even figure it out that way, that sometimes the stuff isn't necessarily bad, like the thing that's on there, but it's still affecting us just because we're watching something on a screen all the time. And I've really been trying to think through this one. When I was actually praying about that before the message was coming together, but then when it came as a part of this message, I was thinking about it more. I don't think that we should say, well, I should go without my phone for a year. You know, sometimes we make New Year's resolutions. That's coming up, by the way. Anybody ever make New Year's resolutions? How many of you kept it for the entire calendar year? Because we're usually like, I'm going to lose 100 pounds this year. You know, we make these big, drastic commitments. And so don't try to say, well, I'm going to do without this for a year or whatever. But also don't say, well, because I can't go without it, then I'm just going to have it all the time either. I encourage you to start deciding to create separation between us and the world for seasons. You know how we've been fasting on Wednesdays and we've been fasting food, and that's right. That's the way the Bible describes that. And we are doing that for the purpose of seeking the Lord and those kind of things. But I think sometimes we should fast for the purpose of just seeing if a difference happens in me when I'm separated from this a little bit. What would happen if tomorrow you decided, well, just for a day, I'm not going to touch my phone. Maybe you give some modification to it. Maybe, you know, if someone texts you or call you, you'll respond to that. But you're not going to play with your apps. You know, you're not going to go surfing on the web. You're not going to play your podcasts and your music. And just for a day, I'm not going to do anything with it. I wonder what might happen with us that day. I wonder if we said, just for a day, I'm not going to watch any news or watch any TV. Just for a day, I'm not going to clean my house. Anybody obsessive compulsive cleaners of your house? Okay. Just for a day, I'm not going to clean my house. Just for a day, I'm going to be alone the entire day. Now, some of you are thinking, that's the way I want to live all the time. Okay. Then maybe for you, just for a day, you're going to be with people the whole time. I went to the gym the other day because, and you could tell because how buff I am. I went to the gym yesterday, and usually I have my headsets in. I'm listening to a podcast or whatever, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go and just try to listen to what the Spirit's doing in people's lives while I'm there. And sometimes the Lord brings an opportunity, sometimes he doesn't. But I was just wondering, you know, how many times do we, in public, close ourselves off from the entire world? We're surrounded by people, but we close ourselves off. And I wonder how many witnessing opportunities and ministry opportunities we miss because we're just constantly on something, aren't we? And it's not that what we're listening to is bad or watching is bad. It's not that it's bad to ever be on our phones. But it feels like sometimes we're just constantly doing something, aren't we? Whether we're busy with cleaning, whether we're busy with a chore or a craft, or it's a screen or whatever it is, we're constantly doing stuff. And I wonder what would happen if we decided just for a day. And do you ever stop to think about if we suggest that, how painful that sounds? One day, what am I going to do without my stuff for one day? But I wonder what we're missing because we don't create any separation at all. And maybe if we do that, we realize, whoa, I'm not as angry as I was before. I'm not as scared as I was. I'm not as distant from the Lord or from other people as I was. That we might discover that maybe I need to go too. Maybe I do need to go a week. Maybe I do need to, and watch ourselves and see if there might not be a change, because there's a reason why throughout the Bible you see the call to come out from among them and be separate. I don't know if I want purity that much. I don't know if I want to please the Lord that much to give up my stuff. Aren't you struggling with certain forms of temptation? Aren't you struggling to be the kind of person that God has called you to be? The reason why many of us are is because we don't actually want to take the steps that would get us to purity before the Lord. We don't want to take it seriously. We don't want to create separation. And thirdly, they confess their sins. We need to label things correctly. Have you ever noticed that if we have, let's say, an anger issue, we will usually say something, we will never say it's a sin. Have you ever noticed that? How many times do we ever say, you know, I have this sin issue in my life? You know, I just, you know, I'm struggling, I keep committing sin. We don't use that word usually, do we? We say, I'm struggling with something. I'm having a hard time with something. This is difficult. Or even then, we sometimes are afraid to go even that far. You know, I don't really have a problem with this. It's just lust. You know, just every once in a while I lose it. Or, you know, I don't have a problem with lust or gossip. I just, you know, every once in a while I get mad and I start venting to other people. And you know, it's not that bad. And we label things incorrectly. Doesn't the Bible say gossip is sin? Isn't that listed in there somewhere? Isn't lust the same as committing adultery? Isn't the hate the same as committing murder? But we tend to like to lessen the terminology, don't we? You know, I'm struggling, having a hard time. I wonder if we stopped doing that and started saying, I'm sinning. And start late, because isn't that sin? And to start just saying, I have a sin problem. I have a problem. Whether it's anxiety or a difficulty in trusting the Lord, we might say, well, you know, I'm just concerned. You know, we try to throw around different words instead of just saying, I have an anxiety problem. I am scared. I am angry. I am lustful. I am lazy. Anybody care to confess that you're a little lazy at times? Okay, I see that hand. Thank you. Or I am mean, right? Some of us like to say, I'm just quiet, and I just kind of keep to myself. I'm not mean. But some of us, we're mean. We're agitated. And we're like, well, you know, I just get irritated sometimes. But no, aren't we lacking the fruit of the Spirit if we don't have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness? Gentleness, thank you. Self-control. Okay, good. We're confessing here. Oh, you don't see that. I thought you were like, yeah, I know you really are. No, just kidding. We are not ever going to get over these things unless we admit that that's what they are. That's a problem. That's not just a character flaw. That's a sin. I have a sin issue. And until we are willing to start labeling it that way, we're not going to change it. And some of us were wondering, why can't I get over this? Well, perhaps we should check to see how serious we think that it is. Or whether or not we're creating separation between us and the things that negatively affect us. Or label things correctly. Or verse 4, they cried with a loud voice to the Lord their God. When they realized who they were in contrast to who God was, they cried out to God. Why? Because they recognize, I need him. I can't, do you ever come to the point of realizing that I can't even muster the slightest ounce of patience without him? I can't even have a pure mind without him. Because I think, do you think, guys, let me ask you this. Do you think that God is saying you should only not lust when you're never seeing a beautiful woman walk by you? What would it be if us men could see a beautiful, and did you know that all the women out there, when you go out in public, they are always completely covered up? You know that? They wear the kind of garb that you can't even, you just have to use your imagination because you can't even see the form. Isn't that the way all women dress out there, right? Wouldn't it be great if a man can go out there and see a woman dressed slightly immodestly, and I'll use that term loosely, and not have the slightest inappropriate thought even enter his head? And some of you guys are thinking, that's not possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you're right in saying it's not possible, because it's not humanly possible for us to do the right thing. Why do you think Paul said in Romans 3, there is no good that dwells within us? We are all desperately sick and wicked. Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But we tend to think that we're good. We tend to think, no, I'm a good person. I'm not that bad. I can do some good things. I'm managing some of this stuff. I am getting better. And we think that we can figure this out. We can't figure this out. If you think that you can, then you think that the tank in my house, the water line is level. And those of you who have a perfected eye can see it's not. It's not. Because we're comparing ourselves to half bad or half decent. We're comparing ourselves to people that we see on the news. You know, I'm not those people that go in places and shooting people up. So, you know, there we go. But if we compare ourselves to the perfection of Jesus Christ, wow, we are in a desperate place, aren't we? And once we realize, I need you, Lord. I can't be kind without you. I can't be loving. I can't share my faith. I can't trust without you. I need you. And the more we begin to realize that, something's going to change. But lastly, they then began to point out God's qualities. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. There's a tension for us sometimes. It's something that's hard for us to realize in our relationship with the Lord because the Lord is our Father, isn't he? Okay, and when we understand that, and the Bible describes him as tenderly affectionate towards his children, and we realize that, and I don't know if you've ever had these moments where you're stressed, you're anxious, you're broken, and you find yourself in the presence of the Lord, and you can almost literally feel the affectionate, loving arms of your Father wrap himself around you. And it feels great, and we could be vulnerable with him, and we can share with him anything. But sometimes in the process of that, we get a little imbalanced, and we forget that he's not only Father, but he's the perfect, almighty, all-powerful creator, ruler of the universe. Jesus said, a friend sticks closer than a brother, and a friend will lay down his life, a person will lay down his life for his friends. And we refer to Jesus sometimes as a friend, you know, someone that walks alongside us and we could talk to casually, and that's true. We can talk casually with Jesus. Jesus is a friend of sinners, right? So we do have this friendship with him. But I think sometimes we go too far in realizing that, yes, I can be casual with him, I can be comfortable with him, but I also have to remember that this isn't just anybody I'm talking to. This is the all-powerful, all-perfected, holy God that when I come waltzing into his presence, just kind of cavalier with all my baggage and all my issues, and think that he doesn't have a problem with the way that I'm acting and realizing that I'm in the presence of a holy God, this is what we have to realize. Because I think sometimes God's just up there winking at us. Yeah, it's all right. It's okay. Yeah, you told them off. And that, yeah, they might not ever follow Jesus Christ because of the way you treated them, but that's okay. Who cares about that? It's all good. We know. You have your issues, you know. You have your issues. It's difficult. They're difficult anyway. And, you know, besides, you saw what you grew up with, you know, the kind of childhood you had, and you're under all kinds of financial pressure. And don't we do that to each other, too? Do you ever wonder how can we impact each other and make disciples when we're making excuses for each other also? And that doesn't mean that we should become judgmental. It doesn't mean that we can't forgive or be gracious to one another. But sometimes we are around each other and we're saying, that's okay. You know, you haven't come to church for 3 years. That's okay. It's all right. You don't, you know, you're tired. You have things to do. And do you ever hear people talk like that to one another? And we're excusing ourselves. And then we're forgetting that Jesus isn't just our pal. Jesus isn't just our buddy at the bar or something. Jesus isn't just the guy we're just texting with and having fun watching the Steeler game. Jesus is holy. Jesus is Lord. And I can't just barter with him, Lord. Yeah, you know, about this witness thing, God. You know, I would talk to you about that. You know, I'd love to witness to my family on Thanksgiving, but you know how they are. You know, they don't really like whatever. And we try to negotiate terms with God. I want you to think about that for a minute. And that's not that we shouldn't be honest before the Lord, because as we said, we see Job does this. The psalm writers do this. But at the end of the day, what happens? They get corrected, though, for it. They get told, but you still, because if God says it, I need to do it. Well, but he's going to understand. Yeah, he understands. He understands we're sinning. He understands that we stand before a holy, perfect God, and we are desperately in need of repentance. And I'm telling you, that person you think you can't become, you can become it. Only if we're willing to walk the road that God calls us to walk. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? If you find yourself struggling with lust or anger or gossip, the reason you're struggling isn't because the people around you are difficult. That's a factor in there, but that's not the reason why we're struggling. The reason we're struggling isn't because we haven't read the right book yet or figured out the right formula. The reason we're struggling with our anger, with gossip or lust or the way we treat one another is because we don't feel like it's that serious. It's because we aren't creating some separation between us and the world. It's because we aren't labeling it correctly. It's because we're not realizing how needy we are before God, and we're not realizing who he is. There's a reason why we're to cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." If you find yourself struggling to, you just don't have a good prayer life, or you're just not in the Word, or you're just not in fellowship with other believers, and we can give our various reasons, well, I'm introverted, or I'm shy, or I got a schedule to keep, or I got these different things, or I'm tired all the time, I got physical issues, and we could say that till we're blue in our face. But those aren't the reasons why you're struggling with that. The reason is because you don't take Bible study, fellowship, prayer life. We're not taking it seriously enough. We're taking it somewhat seriously. It matters to it some, but we're not taking it seriously enough. We're not getting ourselves, sometimes we find ourselves constantly surrounded by people who are half-heartedly following the Lord, lukewarm, and we begin to not notice how much we're losing our fire and passion for the Lord because they're rubbing off on us. And don't misunderstand me, not that we need to completely burn every bridge, but there's times that God calls us to come out and be separate, come out and be holy. There's a reason why we're struggling. And we can just keep pointing our fingers at our circumstances and other people and all these things and making excuses, but that's the reason why we're losing this game. Do you know that? We're losing this game because we keep making excuses. Are you tired of walking that way? Wouldn't you rather to be pleasing to the Lord? Then we need to just stop making excuses and start doing the stuff. Because I can do all things. All things. Even be nice to that guy. Okay? Even trust when I'm in the midst of having nothing. Trust. Even trust when my diagnosis is cancer. When my diagnosis is bleak. We can still trust. Why? Because we have power within ourselves? No. Because we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Would you rather have a message of comfort? Would you rather have a message of someone telling you it's okay, stay the way you are? Or would you rather realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? But how serious do you take it? You know, some of you, you're struggling to be what you should be. And don't look at your neighbor. Don't think in your mind about other people that you're doing better than. Don't think about it that way. That's how the picture frame gets off. Mm-mm. We need to think about the holiness of God and how we stack up to that. And if you're realizing your need for him, then don't, because sometimes some of us, we stay in our seats and we feel convicted, and not that there's something magical about coming up here. But there's something about exactly how serious I'm taking this. If I'm willing to walk before other people and walk all the way out of my seat and down there and kneel down at this altar and decide before others that I'm declaring, I need God to get out of this thing. Will you seek him this morning? We need him. Can we sing the chorus just with the voices? Yes. Your
name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
I want to, just for a moment, you guys earlier came forward for prayer, and it might have been for health reasons and what have you, but I want to ask the team, the prayer altar team, if you would come back up to the front for me, if you would. And here's what I want to do. As they lead us, the Holy Spirit's doing something. And sometimes we reach the stage where it becomes a little individual as far as what the Holy Spirit is doing. And what I want you to do is don't leave. Don't leave until you feel you've got your victory. Don't leave until the Lord's done with you. Don't leave until you've touched him. And so as they lead us, you stay as long as Aaron's committed to stay until 3 anyway. So, but
Amen. Maybe I'll get,
but I, and if you're,
honestly, I probably need to be down.
You
there
might.
Too,
so. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Maybe I'll get a chance.
But as they're leading, if you feel led to, you know, the Lord's done with you and you're leaving, I encourage you, please leave quietly. You know, once you get out into the foyer and stuff, close the door and you can talk out there. But please respect that the Lord's doing something among us. And we need to be victorious because we can. We can do all things through him who strengthens us. And we need to help each other to realize that, right? Instead of just telling each other it's okay, stay in your sin and be that way, we need to help each other be better. We can do all things through him who strengthens us. So this team is here ready to pray for you. And if you'd like prayer for victory over whatever you're trying to get victory over, come. And Aaron, you can feel free to come down too. That's always freedom there. But next week, as we continue with Nehemiah, if you've ever struggled to trust the Lord, next week we're going to find out why and how we can trust him more so than we've been doing. But let's keep seeking them, keep leading us, guys, and let's let the Holy Spirit be at work. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.